Hello and welcome to The Couch. This is your host, Julian. It's been a long break. I think it's been like a month since I've last uploaded, but went home for the holidays and getting back into classes. But now we're back in the swing of things and in good time because what a playoff, you know, little section this has been. It's been a lot of fun to watch. But today with me, I'm joined with my friend Ewan. Ewan, if you want to go ahead and get all of your biases out of the way. So
I'm a homeborn Chicagoan and I'm a diehard Bears fan. So any bias that you may seem is, you may detect is it's there. Trust me. It's there.
Yeah.
I'm Julian's roommate. I've lived with him since, sophomore year. So we've known each other for a little bit.
Yeah. Just a little bit. I know you well enough that I love and hate watching football with you. Because, like, it's so fun to see you mad, but then it gets to the point at the end of the Bears game where it's no longer fun to see you mad, and you kind of hope the Bears win, and it just
becomes sad.
Yeah, yeah, it kind of becomes sad. it was like me last year with the playoffs, with the Eagles and Bucks. It was like first three quarter, even the Super Bowl, because we watched the Super Bowl together.
Yeah, yeah.
The Eagles.
It was really fun rooting against them, and then... and then it got to the end and it was like, this is not fun anymore.
Yeah, like the room is dead silent. It's just me pissed off. But today we're going to be doing first round mock draft. I think we'll probably talk about some coaching stuff because there's been a lot of news, especially with the Bears.
Yep.
And what else were we going to talk about? I feel like there was one more
thing.
We're
just going to go over our kind of reactions to the playoffs. I mean, this has been a wild, wild playoff. Kind of an insane playoff set of playoff games.
I mean, yeah.
Commanders upset rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels upsetting the Lions. Who else was there? It was the close game, the snow game against the Rams versus the Eagles, and I know you were happy about that.
Dude, that game was something else to watch. I mean, like stressing the entire time.
That snow really saved you guys. I mean, they could not play in that snow.
See, that's the thing. I've seen that a lot. Like, the snow has saved us, but I really don't think it did.
I think you guys still would have won without the snow, but I think the snow made it a more clear win. Because I think that fumble by Kyren Williams was definitely. I mean, there was a very nice peanut punch by Jalen Carter, but I mean, that ball wouldn't have been slippery if there was no snow out there.
Yeah, but I think the snow impacted the whole game. But like, if you want to play the game without the snow, we did it earlier in the season and we beat them by more.
I mean, Saquon torched them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the snow provided more trouble for us because it showed the weaknesses in our interior line. Like, Juergens didn't have a good game, but Becton had a nice pancake block at the beginning of the game. Like, he just shoved someone on the ground, and then he was not playing good past that.
Yeah,
but
I've seen a lot of Lions fans really mad about Ben Johnson coming to the Bears, and they're all like, "Oh my God, we lost because he wasn't focused on the game." Well, it's not his fault, you know. Jared Goff and turned it over four times.
Yeah. Well, and even speaking about that game was crazy. Because, like, you see a lot, like, there's people taking the Commanders. Oh, they're picking up the upset pick. But, like, I really did not think that game – was going to get blown as wide open as it did.
Oh, my God. I mean, what, the – they didn't put up 50, did they? But it was close.
Yeah, I mean, they could have.
I think the Lions put up 31.
I'm double-checking.
It was 31-45. So, I mean, it was pretty close to a 20 point differential, which I don't think anyone saw coming. And ultimately that's just up to the defense. I mean,
I definitely think in some parts, and that was going to be the key of this game that everybody was talking about, right? Like, will Jaden Daniels and this Commanders offense be able to keep pace with the Lions offense? But it was kind of the opposite game almost. Like, Lions able to keep pace? Because Jared Goff made several mistakes. I think James Williams throwing that interception.
Oh, yeah.
That was essentially
that kind of sealed the game in my mind.
It didn't seal the game because I think it was a little closer to that, but it took the momentum out and it made it very clearly Commanders.
I guess, yeah.
Same thing with the pick six. Like, they were starting to come back a little bit and gain their footing, and then that happened, and I just don't think they got back to there.
Yeah, it took it the turnovers took the wind out of their sails immediately, and then in my mind, that was when the game kind of ended. Is when Jameson Williams threw that pick, and I was just kind of like, well, it looks like the Commanders going to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's a surprise to me, but I'm honestly glad. I was hoping this was the ideal situation. Yeah. I am worried for Jaden Daniels. I am worried as an Eagles fan because, like, I went to the Commanders Eagles game where Jalen Hurts got hurt, and like, they were in it the whole time, and you could just feel it, even though we were up, and you could just feel they were in it the whole time, and they ended up winning. But really, that game was not as close as people like to make it to seem. I mean, it would have been belt to ass if Hurts didn't get hurt in literally the first. It was 14-0 pretty much, and but so I'm excited for that game. But I do think the Eagles will win.
Is that Saturday or is that Sunday?
It's both of them are Sunday. It's Sunday at 2, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Well, Central Time.
So
2,
it's like,
but
yeah, so it's like 3. It's like 2 or 3, 2:30 or 3:30.
It's 3. 3 Eastern.
3 Eastern time, yeah.
And then Chiefs is at
I feel like
5.
They usually do like a the first one's like a 2:30 or 3:30.
That, I think they normally do that, but not because last week it was at 2 as well.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. But I think that this is going to be the toughest defense Jaden Daniels has to go against, and probably the toughest defense he's played all year. And in both games, really, he struggled. Like, even in the win against Philly, we forced, I think, 4 turnovers, and 3 of them were from him.
Yeah, I'm going to look at their...
One was a bad handoff exchange. So I don't know if they credit Jaden Daniels with that or Brian Robinson, but...
Yeah. I mean, they've played some very good defenses this year, but I will say... You guys are probably the best defense they've played. I mean, they played the only guys comparable to you, I would say, are the Steelers and the, let's see who else is here.
And they were even competitive in that game.
Yeah, they were competitive in that game. Honestly, I mean, not to float my own boat here, but that Bears defense those first couple of weeks was exceptional, and then they threw the Hail Mary, but you know, up until that point.
Yeah, I mean, still, yeah, they played it.
I think we only held them to 18. So
yeah, I mean Jaden Daniels was hurt, clearly. His rib was still hurt during that game. But, like, yeah, I think this is going to be the toughest defensive matchup, and I really think that their defense matching up against Saquon is going to be the biggest factor because if they're able to stop it and force Jalen Hurts to get into more of those true drop-back settings, it's going to be a more difficult game. Definitely not a losable game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you've seen it. Like, these first two playoff games, we can just give the ball to Saquon. And the real question is, can we win without giving the ball to Saquon?
Yeah.
Because you look at Hurts' stats, people want to say he's playing bad. It's not him playing bad. It's that we're not putting the ball in his hands because he's not our best player.
Yeah.
So I think that if we're going best player v best player, it's not Jalen Hurts versus Jaden Daniels. It's Jaden Daniels versus Saquon.
Yeah.
And I think even looking back at the other two matchups, Saquon Barkley had pretty much 150 yards in both games.
Well, I mean, you guys outpaced him in pretty much everything. Your receiver core is better. I would say your tight end core is better. I mean, I feel like Ertz is really their only guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's still good for an older dude.
Oh my god, yeah, he
makes a lot of good catches.
Really good. I mean, O-line's better, D-line's better, linebackers are better. I mean, you guys should theoretically blow them out. I think it will be a close game. I think it'll be a really, really good game.
I think it'll be a really good game as well, but I do have the Eagles coming out on top, and I think it'll be... I'm hoping it's not snowing again. Hoping it's not snowing again.
Is it at Philly? It's at Philly.
Yeah. So it'll be at Philly. I don't think it's supposed to snow yet. So I'm gonna say 31-20.
It's like a decently high scoring game. Nothing insane, but it's not gonna be a like a defensive stalemate.
31-20 Birds. And I think the only reason that Jane Daniels really even caught fire in that last matchup against us was because of Kenny Pickett and his inability to move us down the field and sustain drives. Like, he threw that interception right, put him right in our red zone, and, you know, they were able to score off that. And so I think that limiting turnovers is one of our strongest suits, and if we continue to do that, we'll win the game. And
yeah.
So, yeah, I got 31-20 Birds. What do you got?
I think it'll be a little bit closer. I think there are going to be some crazy breakaway Terry McLaurin touchdowns. I think it'll be – I'm going to go a nice even number. I think it's going to be 28 Commanders, 35 Eagles. I think you guys are going to win by a touchdown.
Okay.
I think it'll be close, and I think it'll be down to the wire.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about down on the wire, that Ravens-Bills game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I would not go back to Baltimore if I'm Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
I mean, it's happened three times this year. The same Mark Andrews drop on the same play.
Yeah.
I believe it was a drop every time. It might have been caught one time, but I saw Ravens fans mad about it. And, I mean, it makes me question his ability to continue playing. And I think that you could take that as like an overreaction because, oh, it's one play.
Yeah.
But I think you saw that, especially at the start of the year, where he's not being productive. Isaiah Likely's out snapping him. And
yeah. Oh, my God. He was non-existent. He was playing right tackle at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Like,
he was just nowhere to be found. I mean, actually, they've been getting screwed over by their tight ends all year. I mean, that Isaiah Likely would be touchdown catch.
Oh, week one, yeah.
The Chiefs. He, you know, barely got his big toe out. You know, that was unfortunate.
To me, it's a culmination of Lamar's playoff struggles.
Yeah.
And really the offensive struggles. And I think, honestly, if I'm a Ravens fan, I would mark this season as almost a disappointment, you know, despite making it to the divisional round. And
I mean, like, you signed Derrick Henry, you have who did they draft? Not Zay Flowers. That was last year.
What position?
No, I'm thinking about who their first-round pick was.
Yeah, what position?
I have no idea. I'm looking it up right now. They drafted, Nate Wiggins.
Yeah, pretty good corner.
He was solid, but, I mean, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't Quinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the story, because you lose Patrick Queen, who people like to say that he's overrated. He's still more functional in that linebacker room than what's going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. Also losing Jadeveon Clowney to the Panthers. I think that was a kind of a move that had a lot more impact than it felt at the time when they lost him.
Yeah.
But he had a pretty good season last year, and he had a decent season this year. So, I mean, but you, like you said, you bring in Derrick Henry, you have this unbelievable offense, right, with Lamar and Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And it's almost a disappointment, because they were like Super Bowl favorites. These are the guys that are going to be the team, and then the defense shows up, which is normally a Ravens thing, is their defense being good. But then it fails to show up for most of the season.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking about, they gave Justin Matabike like a giant contract this offseason too. And he was one of those guys that I thought the Bears should – I mean, obviously there was never a chance we were going to sign him.
Just like Micah Parsons to the Bears?
Yeah, just like Micah Parsons to the Bears. It'll be like Khalil Mack all over again. I was like, he'd be really cool to sign. And then they gave him that massive deal, and he has not done, like, he really did his, like, his contract year thing. And let's see how many stats he recorded. He recorded 6.5 sacks. And I believe, okay, he plays D tackle, so that's not horrible. Last year, he had 13 sacks.
Yeah.
As a D tackle.
I mean, pretty much half as productive.
Yeah.
I mean, and part of that is losing some of those other pieces like Patrick Queen.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I will say, though, like, and you were mentioning Jadeveon Clowney, Kyle Van Noy made a surprising impact. I mean, especially for his age, I feel like filled in very well. I think he registered double-digit sacks this year at the, you know, ripe age of, you know, 75 or however old he is. He had 12 and a half sacks. So, wow. I mean, pretty good. He's 33. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, getting production out of those guys, out of the older guys, kind of like Cam Hayward on the Steelers. I think TJ Watt really had a down season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting Cam Hayward to have double-digit sacks, I mean, getting production out of those old guys is good. But I think that if you're looking at this as a Ravens fan, like I'm saying, like, this is almost a failure. And it doesn't mean next season is a failure. I think they're going to go out into free agency, and I think they're going to, you know, fill the holes at wide receiver, or maybe at least draft one.
Yeah.
You know, shore up the defense. And make some moves, and I think next year they're going to be a lot better. But the expectations going into this year really fell them short. And Lamar needs to get it together in the playoffs.
Oh, my God,
that pick he threw was terrible. I mean, I don't even know who he's throwing. I don't know if it's miscommunication or what. But
yeah, that was a very rough that was a rough game for Lamar. Roquan didn't have a good season. Or, well, not a great season. My king, Roquan Smith, former Chicago Bear. He had a lot of tackles, 154 tackles total, like combined tackles, but 1.5 sacks. I feel like, I mean, with the Bears, we used to blitz with them pretty often. I don't know.
Yeah, I just think that it was an unusual season for that Baltimore defense, because normally it's like, the best way to put it for me is like the fantasy football perspective. It's like, what defenses do you even think about drafting?
Yeah.
And it's always the AFC North.
I drafted the Ravens defense this year, or someone.
I mean, someone did, for sure.
Someone did, yeah. And immediately I think I dropped them.
Like, but it's like, it's always just the Steelers, Browns, and Ravens that you think about taking their defenses early. And not early, but, you know, at the end when you might have a pick, you don't have anyone. So, and this year they really underperformed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
Kyle Hamilton didn't do very well either. He only had one interception, two sacks.
I mean, you don't even have to look at their stats. Just look at their record.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was the Ravens record?
Let me see.
Because I remember they were tied with the Steelers, and they did.
They went 12 and 5. So, they went. They went, you know, they had a really good year. Record wise, but they
what, five
you know,
losses with that with what seemed to be the league's best offense preseason.
Yeah,
I think that's a pretty big failure. But to not continue just dogging on the Ravens, the Bills though, I think that's why Josh Allen needs to win MVP over Lamar. I think Lamar's having a statistical year, and I'm not saying he should win the MVP because of the playoffs, because MVP is a regular season award.
Yeah,
but I think that what Josh Allen is doing, very similar record. What are the Bills?
13-4.
13-4.
Yeah.
Similar record. And Josh is doing it with less. His defense is better, but he's doing it with less.
I honestly thought, and this was a terrible miscalculation on my part preseason, I thought the Bills' offense was going to be garbage this year.
Really?
I thought they were going to be terrible. I mean, not terrible, but
not
like,
as good.
They lost Diggs. They their wide receiver one was Khalil Shakir, who's like a solid guy, but I would not peg him as a wide receiver one on most other teams.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
That's me personally. I thought Keon Coleman was going to be, you know, decent as a rookie, but I mean, it's not like their tight ends or anything insane. Like, Dalton Kincaid's like good. But
and Dawson Knox, he's
pretty good, but I wouldn't peg him as a top 10, either of them as a top 10 tight end.
No, not. I think that they have like the 85 overall offense. Like, yeah, everyone on their offense is 85 overall in Madden terms, and then Josh Allen's a 99.
They just have an overall solid team,
yeah,
a superstar at the helm.
Yeah, and James Cook is really good. Ray Davis, yeah, is a dog. I think James Cook leaves in free agency and Ray Davis becomes that starting running back. Because just watching him run, he runs like Pacheco in the way that he's angry at the ground. He does not want to go down.
He's a big dog too.
He's a big dog.
He's a big guy, you know. He's gonna run through you like Eddie Lacy.
Yeah. or like how Eddie Lacy would run through like a plate of pancakes.
Yeah. 17 cheeseburgers.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think this Bills team going into it, I think they were the clear winner. I don't think I would ever take the Ravens in that game.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see this Chiefs-Bills game too, because like I said, this Bills team is completely relying on Josh Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that it is going to be a testament to him and his ability when they play the Chiefs this Sunday. But yeah. And we can go ahead and start talking about the Chiefs, because you don't like the Chiefs.
I hate the Chiefs. I hate the I'm kind of a mob mentality guy when it comes to the Chiefs. I'm just kind of sick and tired of the BS penalties. We had a debate about this when the penalties were drawn. I think both of those flags against the Texans were both complete and utter egregiousness. I think I'll explain my reasoning. The Will Anderson one.
The roughing the passer?
Roughing the passer one. That one really pissed me off more than the second one. The second one.
That one pissed you off
that
more?
One off
that
more
one has.
The second one.
Okay.
Because more than the second one. The second one, I'm kind of 50-50 on because they did hit his helmet.
Okay, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm talking about that one. Not
That's the roughing the passer. Or no, it was a late hit. Late hit, technically.
Yeah, so I think that was late hit.
So I think they were both late hits, to be honest. But
yeah, whatever they were. The Will Anderson one pissed me off because Mahomes is holding the ball. He's holding the ball, holding the ball, holding the ball. He comes out of the pocket, right? So now he's a potential runner.
Yeah.
And if I'm Will Anderson and I'm wanting to do my job correctly, I want to tackle Patrick Mahomes because now he's a potential runner. I want to eliminate that threat. Now you have Patrick Mahomes, his pudgy ass, running out of the pocket, getting ready to throw. He's still holding the ball, though. He's looking like he's getting ready to throw. And now you have, 6'4 Will Anderson running at you, and you're still holding the ball. He's getting closer. And then you finally throw the ball away when Will Anderson is, like, 6 inches away from your face. And then inevitably, he makes contact with you because he's going fast enough and he's close enough from you that he legitimately can't do anything to stop himself. And then calling I don't remember if it was a late hit or roughing the passer. Just calling that when there's nothing Will Anderson could have done, and that was essentially, to me, Patrick Mahomes drawing a flag, which he tried to do later in the game, by the way, when he was running out of bounds and he slowed down as, I believe, as Tuli Tuipuluti pushed him out of bounds. He tried to draw a foul there. I just felt like it was a very egregious call by those refs. And we're looking at a clip of it right now.
See, this is one I want to talk about. I thought you were talking about the one he ran out of bounds.
No, when he slid, I'm kind of 50.
No, not that one. The one where he, like, flopped out of bounds.
Oh, yeah, that's...
That one's undebatable. That one's so bad.
Well, they never called a flag on that one. I don't think they called a flag on that one, but he was trying to, like...
Yeah.
He was trying to draw a flag there.
Okay. But this one, he's coming in, and... You can see at the end that his helmet hits Patrick Mahomes' helmet, and that's like the one thing. You can't have forcible contact to the head. And I remember this watching the game now that I was arguing with you guys about this.
Yeah.
Because
Well, in my mind, there's helmet-to-helmet contact on every single tackle, and I don't think that the majority of the impact in that tackle was helmet-to-helmet. I think that was helmet-to-chest, in my opinion.
But it hits his face mask right here. And I agree with you. There's unavoidable helmet-to-helmet contact, like, right? Like, it's going to happen. You're going to hit each other's heads when you guys are flying around at 90 miles an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
But in this scenario, he gets his hands up and puts his head down, right? And he hits him. I think that this is a 50-50 call, and it just went the way of the Chiefs. And because that the Chiefs are good, yeah, the ones that are 50-50 get blown out of proportion.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying is, like, they get – I personally don't think that was a 50-50 call. I think, you know, as someone who never played football, if I'm running at you and I put my hands up, I there's really nothing I can do with my head, you know.
But also, like, the rule is the head or neck area. And you see that, I mean, even if he's not hitting his helmet, he's at his, he's in the head or neck area.
I think
you're supposed to hit him in the middle, right in the stomach. That's where you're supposed to hit him. It's an annoying call because this wasn't called 10 years ago.
I don't think it would have been called if it was Jalen Hurts. I don't think that would have been called.
They hate calling them on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
They didn't even call it on the slide he had in that Commanders game.
Yeah, that was absurd.
Yeah, that was crazy that they didn't call it. It just depends on the refs, because you're going to have some refs that are like, oh, let's let him play. It's the same with any penalty. It's the same with...
Well, now that you bring that up, I would like to say this season, that head ref, when the Chiefs have had that head ref, I don't know if the stat was in the playoffs or in this season. With that head ref, they are 7-0. So,
wow, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I'm really kind of sick of the...
But I think that's, like, correlation, not causation, right? I think it's that if you keep having the same ref and you know what he's going to call, Mahomes is going to is like...
Oh, no, 100%. And I think it's kind of...
He's going to slide late. He's gonna do these things because they're going to call it.
Yeah. And in my mind, that kind of feels... I wouldn't call it cheating, but I do feel like it's kind of gaming the system there, because it's kind of like, oh, you know, he's going to, you know, he's going to give you the call you want.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. It's just natural of when you have referees. I mean, that's why you have flopping in the NBA. Like, you've seen so many clips of guys just falling down. No one's touched them. And it's because of that. It sucks, but.
I'm just on the Chiefs hate train.
Yeah, everyone is. And I don't necessarily like the Chiefs, but they're good. They are great. Like, if the Eagles lose the Commanders.
Not saying that, like Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But, like, this other one.
There. Do you think there's someone better?
No, I thought you were going to say of all time, and I was going to say correct.
Oh, no.
If he completes the three-peat, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Tom Brady hasn't even won two Super Bowls back-to-back.
Yeah, but it's Tom Brady.
Whatever. But, like, even this other one, this one's really bad.
Yeah, I mean,
This is good. Like, this is it's not a bad call. It's a bad hit. Like, you got two guys going for him when he's sliding, and they all three collide. Well, more like...
I mean, they collided first. They hit each other in the head, like, immediately.
Well, these guys are... Mahomes and this other Texan are combining, and then he comes in and hits his teammate.
Yeah.
So it's not really three, but it's just two separate hits. Because it's him, he goes down. But, like, that one's a call.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
I don't know. The last time I watched the Chiefs, it was the last time they had played the Texans. And... I remember watching that game over winter break. I think it was winter break. And I just could not stand watching it, because there were some calls that they were giving the Chiefs that were absurd. Like, there was I believe there was a Tank Dell PI, and I think it was Troy Aikman calling that game. And there was no PI, and Troy Aikman was just like, dude, I don't know what these refs are calling right now.
See, he helps, like, perpetuated. I
love Troy Aikman.
I like Troy Aikman, but he's just like, he doesn't care, I guess.
I know, that's what I love so much about Troy Aikman. He's just like, if he sees what he thinks is a bad call, he'll just be like, that was a terrible call.
Yeah, and
all that.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be bad calls, but yeah. I mean, I don't really, there was nothing really to talk about that game. I knew that it was going to be a story. Yeah, everyone, it was going to be the same story as when they played last season and Tank Dell got hurt and there wasn't really any other, you know, receiving threat for the Texans besides Nico Collins, obviously.
Yeah.
But so talking about those, what do you think Chiefs-Bills is going to be? I'm predicting, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think, as a lot of people have noticed, like, the Chiefs' offense is not as good as last year.
Yeah.
And I think that both defenses are kind of are going to be the stars in this game.
Yeah, I agree.
Expect for the normal Travis Kelce to get involved.
Yeah, I think we could see two Travis Kelce touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't...
Wouldn't surprise me.
It wouldn't surprise me either. But I do have the Chiefs winning this one. And I think it's a little more of a blowout than people think. I think it's going to be... Chiefs... Actually, I think this one goes to OT. And Mahomes once again destroys Josh Allen in OT. Even with the new OT rules in the playoffs... So I think it'll be 40-34.
40-34. Okay.
No. 30-24.
Okay. 30-24.
Yeah, 30-24. I think that the defenses are going to shine, but more so in forcing turnovers than anything.
I think that Josh Allen finally gets his get back.
Oh,
against Mahomes for that last AFC matchup, that championship matchup. I think Bills take it. I do think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a close game and another close game that comes down to the wire. But I think it will be. I think it'll be very low scoring. I think it'll be like. 18-14.
Mm, okay.
I think it'll be low scoring. And 18-14 Bills.
Wow. Okay. So you got Bills Eagles. I got Bills Chiefs. You're going to advance to the Super Bowl. I'm excited. I'm extremely excited. Nervous because I hate Jaden Daniels. I had Jaden Daniels on my fantasy team and it's been awesome. And now I will never draft him again if he beats the Eagles. And if he beats the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl, I'm never drafting Jaden Daniels again.
Trust me, I hit him just because of all the Caleb Williams comparisons. I see all the
yeah, you guys should have taken him instead.
Yeah, every mock redrafter I see, I'm just like, I'm not even going to pay attention to this.
This podcast is produced by Student Media. Student Media is a student organization at the University of Evansville. Student Media produces the Crescent magazine published online and in print 3 times a semester. Student Media produces several podcasts and utilizes design, photography, video, and sound towards experimental and academic learning and journalistic endeavors and engaging storytelling. Student Media elevates the voice of the student body and connects the campus and community to important information and points of view.